Hello. Well, we're finishing off this series today called Gimme Gimme. If you're newer here today, we've been looking at what it means to have an attitude of entitlement and how all of us by nature feel like we're entitled. We think it's the other person, but no, it's really all of us. All of us think that there's somebody's holding out for us, on us, and something is owed to us. I was reminded of this when I was talking with a friend of mine at Starbucks this last week, works at Starbucks, and said the day that we voted, that if you got one of those little stickers, you know, you could go into the Starbucks and get a free coffee. And she said that people were upset that they couldn't get a free tea. They were upset they couldn't get a free mocha latte, upset they couldn't get a frappuccino macchiato latte up your butty, whatever the heck those things are. People just come in going, well, I don't want a coffee, I want tea. And they say, I'm sorry, it's coffee. And they'd say, but I want tea. I'm sorry, but it's coffee. But I want, that's not fair. They would actually say, that's not fair. They're offered something free, but they feel something is being, of course, that was the other people. I'm sure nobody in here did that when you went to Starbucks. I'm sure no one in here. See, it just seeps in. This attitude of somebody owes me something or somebody's trying to hold out on me. We looked last week that gratitude, having the attitude of gratitude, is not the way that we think of gratitude in our culture. In our culture, we think, if you do what I want right now, then I'll say thank you. If you don't do what I want right now, then I'm not going to say thank you. Our culture, our economic culture, lives with the ever promise of expansion. And if we don't think that we can get more, we're not thankful. We're not thankful for what we have. We're not thankful for what we have had. We're only thankful if we have the promise for what we want to have, for what is in the future. And this is a conundrum for spiritual frustration, for relational turmoil, and for animosity towards God. In the Old Testament, God was doing a thing with the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel was learning how to live with an attitude of gratitude. And they had the concept of a biblical understanding of remembering. Three big ideas I want to think about today. Biblical understanding of remembering. They had a biblical mandate to remember. Today, I'm not, again, going to try to give you a lot of information. I'm going to try to walk us through gratitude exercise. You see up here, all on these posts and pillars, you see gratitude, thoughts of gratitude that people handed in last week. They came up and dumped them on some coffee cans and went up and just stuck them up there. And we're encouraging all of us to do this at home so that we can, on Thanksgiving, celebrate with our friends, our family, things that have happened inside of us. Like, this is one. I'm so thankful and grateful beyond words that my God has loved me and revealed himself to me, even though I committed adultery, had an abortion, had an affair with a married man, went through a divorce. His amazing grace and mercy and love picked me back up, gave me hope, turned my sorrow into dancing because of his love. I am so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Lord, I'm thankful for having no work, my computer breaking down, my car breaking down, the IRS dropping a levy on me, and breaking a filling in a tooth all in 1 week. It showed me something close to the bottom, but it showed me that I do have true and good friends. MC. See, these are all exercises of remembering. The Bible tells us to remember the things that have happened. In the Old Testament, they would have festivals that would remind people of what God had already done and would cause them to bolster their attitude of gratitude. One of the festivals still celebrated today, it's the Passover feast. It's when God passed over the nation of Israel's firstborn children and instead took the firstborn in Egypt and enabled the Israelites to escape bondage into freedom. Now, you might not know the story and you might not understand all of this, but there was a ritual that developed 1,000 years ago that Jews still do today. It's called Dayanu. And they would hit the 15 key elements. And then when they said Dayanu, it is a Hebrew word. Hebrew word said, that would be enough. And we're grateful. Here's how Dayanu goes. If you had brought us out of Egypt, Dayanu. If you had executed justice upon the Egyptians, Dayanu. If he had executed justice upon their gods, Dayanu. If he had slain their firstborn, Dayanu. If he had given to us their health and wealth, Dayanu. If he had split the sea for us, Dayanu. That would be enough, and we're grateful. If he had led us through on dry land, Dayanu. If you drowned our oppressors, they knew. If he had provided for our needs in the wilderness for 40 years, they knew. If he had fed us manna, they knew. If he had given us Shabbat, the Sabbath, they knew. If he had led us to Mount Sinai, they knew. If he had given us the Torah, they knew. If he had brought us into the land of Israel, they knew. He built the temple for us, they knew. Now, these are not part of our national heritage, unless you're Jewish in here, but yet we can learn from this by institutionalizing an exercise of gratitude. We're going to take a cue from them and do an exercise of they knew right now, which again means it would be enough, and I'm grateful. It would be enough, and I'm grateful. I was thinking about these throughout the weeks, typing them down, and I had some other friends shoot me some ideas, and this is a collaboration of a bunch of folks thinking of things we're thankful for. And I want to read these. This is going to be a participation-oriented service. You're going to be able to say things if you want to say them, or you're going to be able to sing things if you want to sing as we do songs. If you feel like you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, stay seated. Today, we're trying to create in here an environment of gratitude that's going to hopefully sweep throughout your entire week of Thanksgiving. We're continuing to prime the pump because the antidote to gimme, the antidote to selfishness, the antidote to lack of sense in God is thanking God, remembering for what he's done. So as we go through these, I'm going to pause for a moment, and if you say, I connect with that one, I want us all to say, it would be enough, and we're thankful. It would be enough, and we're thankful. We're going to go through personal ones that all of us can connect with. We're going to go through ones that every American can connect with. We're going to go through ones that everybody in Cincinnati can connect with. We're going to go through ones that that everybody who's a part of Crossroads connect with, and then we're going to go through ones who everybody who has a relationship with Jesus can connect with. Let's do these right now as an exercise of gratitude if you'd like. Here we go. If he had brought out of the womb, given me a mother's breast or formula, given me an inoculation so I haven't contracted a disease, it would be enough and we're thankful. If he had kept us away from the rule of Hitler and a nuclear holocaust and allowed me to live in the most prosperous time in the most prosperous nation in human history, it would be enough. And I'm thankful. If he had given me technological ease of life and having information at my fingertips, it would be enough, and I'm thankful. Now, let me just say as we go, we don't want to mumble this, okay? So if you're not really thankful, then just, oh, I'm going to sit that one out. Just you can sit that one out, but, you know, like when I'm thankful, I'm not going, no. I left denominational churches a long time ago where I grew up. That's what we did all the time. Not going to do that. So if you don't want to say anything, that's awesome. If you're really thankful, then say it like you're thankful. Okay, here we go. If he had given me any retirement savings or any access to medical assistance, it would be enough, and I'm thankful. If he had given our city 5 Fortune 100 companies and not also blessed us with a vibrant art and music community, it would be enough, and we're thankful. If he had established 3 good universities and had not also given us cutting-edge hospitals, it would be enough, and we're thankful. If he allows us to celebrate and enjoy professional sports in our city like baseball, tennis, football, and does not give us a Super Bowl, it would be enough. And we are thankful. If he gives us low cost of living, affordable housing, reasonable working hours, and are not also giving us gridlock-free traffic on the roads home to our families, it would be enough, and we're thankful. If he had blessed us with the original, this is Crossroads, the original 3,500 property, but had not also given us the ability to renovate and expand it so more people could have a place to hear about him, and also the expanded 3,500 property, but had also not given us the ability to open a second site in Mason, it would be enough, and we're thankful. If he had given us the resources to help those with AIDS and poverty in South Africa, and then to help free those caught in slavery in India, it would be enough, and we're thankful. If he had gotten us through lean financial times but had not also freed our community to currently be a bigger blessing to our city and world than ever before, well, it would have been enough, and we'd be thankful. If he had given us community to help us find him but had not also given us the gift of friendship and laughter among that community, it would have been enough, and we're thankful. If he had given his son for my life and then continued to forgive me for things I struggle forgiving others for, it would have been enough. And we'd be thankful. If he had rescued us from the mistakes of our past, but had not also empowered us to live the rest of our lives in freedom, It would have been enough, and we're thankful. And there's so many things that God does that the Bible tells us to remember these things. Remember, God, you've given us more than enough, more than enough. If we get nothing else, if we get no more money, no more blessings, no more education, no more medical care, no more spiritual experiences, no more friends, what you've done and given us is enough, because if we have you, we have more than enough. I should never say, I will be so thankful if... I should never say that. I should, because that indicates something still has to happen for me to be grateful. My being grateful comes out of what's happened. It comes out of who God is. That's why we have these blocks up here that used to spell out like, gimme, gimme, gimme. And we're covering that over with our gratitude. We're covering that over with things that have already happened. This is entirely un-American to be grateful for no apparent reason. To be grateful for something that's already happened versus holding gratitude out as a carrot and a stick, hoping that somebody does what we need to do. I think about this every time I go someplace else in the world, specifically go over to South Africa. We got some people in here, 200 people or so, came back from South Africa. We got any here? Yes. We had 200 people just come back from South Africa. The second wave is going over. Went over yesterday. The next 200 people went over. And if you ever do that, or if you have ever done that, you know something very disconcerting happens in the airport. Because when our friends from Charity and Faith Mission Church wait for us, they really say thank you and they greet us. And when you get off the plane, this is a glimpse of what you can see if you want to our blog. You can go to the video blog of what happens every single day at the Go Mama Loaded trip. And here's a clip from the video blog of what happened when people got off the plane. Yeah, that right there, that is an attitude of gratitude. Let me tell you, if you did that at CVG, you would get a cavity search. I mean, they would think that something's crazy. You can't be thankful. You can't be that demonstrably happy. In America, there's something crazy. There's something wrong with you if you actually are wearing your gratitude on your sleeve. We have, as opposed to a biblical mandate of remembering in the Bible, we have an American culture of forgetting. We just forget all of our blessings. We forget all the things that God's done for us. We forget all the things that's brought us to where we are here right now. I still can't believe I'm not reading more about how crazy it is for $1.65 gas. Come on. How crazy and stupid is that? It's unbelievable. A friend of mine said, man, it's like I just got a raise of $250 a month. It is. I mean, when it was $4, $401, it was like all the time. If the lead story, look at the pumps. There's no lead story any longer. No one's talking about that because it's not bad news. We got to talk about bad news. We got to talk about ways in which we're getting ripped off. We got to talk about ways in which the man is putting it to us. We got to talk about things about to be fearful for. How about recognizing and not forgetting the incredible things that are happening? $1.65. Yes, $1.65 gas. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's why Thanksgiving in America should be the high holy holiday. That's why we do a Thanksgiving food drive. It's a festival of sorts to remind us of the things that we have, the blessings that have come our way. And even if we don't participate in the Thanksgiving food drive because maybe we couldn't afford to stuff a box Or maybe we couldn't have somebody sponsor us as we went and filled a box. You can come in here and look at the love that's happening out in the parking lot. Look at the infrastructure, bless people, and you can have an attitude of gratitude. Let's take a look at some of the scenes right now that are out in the parking lot. And also up at Mason, you'll see some scenes from your parking lot with people bringing in their boxes right now. This is just fun stuff. If you haven't been over there, get over there. Just volunteers working their noogies off. It's cold. It's nice. Look at the boxes starting to stack up on the pallets. And you know, everybody out there is smiling. Everybody out there knows that it's something that is really, really good that's happening. You know what's interesting is this scene is similar to what happened in the Bible. When we started the Thanksgiving food drive, this thing just monopolized. It multiplied. Monopolized too. But it multiplied. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like this meager offering of food just got expanded and blown out to where this year we think 200,000 meals are going to be able to be served. Amazing. Amazing. I regularly read the Bible, and at this point, there's really nothing in the Bible that I haven't read a few times. I forget about it, or maybe there's something I've glossed over before, but it never ceases to amaze me how I'll go across a story that I remember very clearly, but yet it has fresh impact on me. There's something I never saw before, or I saw it before and I forgot about it. I had this just happen to me a couple weeks ago, and I want to give it to you today. It comes from the book of Mark, and many people think that if God would only do something miraculous, then I would be thankful. I would believe in Jesus. If only I saw the clouds part. If only I saw a bona fide miracle, then I would believe in God. I would believe in Jesus. So there it is again. If only you do this, then I'll do that. If only that'll happen. Well, the problem with that is everybody in the Bible who sees miracles abandons their faith and has hard times. So if we think that it would work for us, but it never worked for any of them, we got a real problem, a real challenge on our hands. One time Jesus was out interacting with a bunch of people, and they were being taught by him, and things were happening, they were growing, fun stuff was happening. And the disciples look at him and say, hey, there's a bunch of people around here who they're going to get hungry. They're going to get hungry. So here's our idea. Let's send them away to get some food, and then they can come back. Now, this is a huge deal. When you're hungry back in those times, or you need food, it's not easy. Again, something for us to be thankful for. You're hungry here, you can get a meal very easy. Even if you're homeless in Cincinnati, you know where the free food places are where you can go. Okay, way back when, you had to kill something, you had to cook it, you had to wait for something to grow, you had to walk long distances to get something. Getting a meal, it wasn't as simple as opening a lid and sticking it in an electronic thing that heated it up in 50 seconds. It was a major, major undertaking. Today, how weird is it? You can get into a contraption, never even get out of your contraption, while someone hands you something through a window and you eat it while you drive. Can we be thankful for the American way for a minute? That is miraculous. That's an amazing thing. So they say, hey, you better go away. You better give them something to eat. You better give them. And Jesus says, you know what? I think you disciples, don't tell them to go away. I think you need to give them something to eat. Don't tell them to figure it out on their own. I want you 12 to give them something to eat. And they say this. They say, well, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. You mean you actually want us to sacrifice and give? And they actually do. They scrape together whatever they have, and they pass it out. And as it's prayed over, it miraculously multiplies. And it says they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. They started out with 5,000 men there. That means there was also women and children. 5,000. And they had 12 baskets of leftovers. And then, very shortly after, the exact same thing happens. Exact same thing happens. Where now it's 4,000 people, 4,000 men. So it means there's even more women and children. Not sure exactly how many of them. And same thing happens. They have a crisis of faith. They think that nothing can happen. But Jesus says, gather what you can. Praise over it. They just start passing it out in faith. And there's 7 baskets left. Back-to-back miracles. Boom, boom. After the first one, they would think that it could happen again, but they still don't believe it. Boom, it happens again. See, these people, the Bible's actually recording history there. If it was trying to record mythology, all of the Bible's heroes would never have any doubts. They would never be looked on as weirdos. They would never be looked on as mental midgets. The disciples are constantly looked at as a mental midget. They're constantly, their faults are recorded. Heroes, founders of other faiths are never, ever, ever seen like that. We see that in the Bible because the Bible is actually recording history. And it's able to record things that make the founders not look good. So after this happens, later on the day or the next day, Jesus gets in the boat and all his friends are ready and they're going over to the other side of the water. And as Jesus is in the water, he starts to kind of give them some teaching. And he says to them, you know, be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Watch out. And he's saying that there's a lot of religious folks who are just going to kind of sidetrack you. Watch out for those religious folks because they'll take away your gratitude. They'll take you away from seeing who I am. They'll put you into rules and regulations. Be careful. And as he's talking about yeast, all of a sudden they go, yeast. Yeesh. Yeast. Bread. Gosh, Jesus. Did you bring the sandwiches? No. Oh, bagels. You bring the bagels? I don't. And they're still whispering amongst themselves. Who brought the food? Maybe Jesus knows that one of us forgot us. They're murmuring about all this stuff. And finally, Jesus realized they're not listening to him talk at all, that they are now worrying again. They're now worrying again that they're going to be hungry. And he says this, verse 17. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7. We're losers. And he said to them, how is it do you still not understand? And this, when I read this, it just struck me again. How is it? I still do not understand. Hey, if you're stressed, if you're in a hard way, if you're not sure what's going to happen next week, the week after, if you root yourself in the biblical mandate of remembering all that's happened to get you here, Jesus will look at you and say, how is it you still don't understand? Have an attitude of gratitude that bolsters you, brings you up. One of these really funny things that happened. We said last week, just any scrap of paper you can, just bring it up. And someone had a scrap. The scrap was a dollar. And they actually wrote on it. You know, some people had, there was one of these things in here where someone had a bank deposit slip. Someone wrote on a Kit Kat bar. This person on this dollar bill, whoever it is, writes, I am thankful that I can give all I have and know that I won't need this for my survival. God has always protected me. That's cool. That's very cool. Robbie, right about now is the time you're supposed to say something interesting. Yeah, okay. Because I know I've been saying a lot of interesting things. Everyone's enjoyed it. It's your turn now.
Well, we're going to sing a song just after this part.
All right.
And this song comes from Scripture, comes from the New Testament in the book of James. It's a song we've been singing in the series. And I think it's good for us to kind of know where a song stems from. And sometimes it comes out of our experience, or we hear it on the radio. And sometimes even songs on the radio come from the Bible. I know. It's amazing. But here in James 1, 16, it says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And you know, we've sung that song. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, and obviously we're singing to God. But like, I was really hit, you know, through the course of this series, that there are a lot of things that I don't ask for, that I'm blessed with. You know, I pray for a lot of things, and like, God, I think I need this. I want this, or God, would you do this for that person, or you know, whatever it is. I think I know better than God. And still, you know, I wake up, and like you talked about last week, I have a breath, you know. I wake up, and my kids wake up and climb in bed, which it sometimes isn't great. But yet, it's a blessing, you know, that I have beautiful children. And then I on the same note, we kind of talked about this in a meeting. We have taste buds, people. Like, that's good. Like, I don't ask that steak tastes... Well, I guess I do ask that steak tastes good.
But you have the ability to notice.
Exactly. Thank you. That was drowning there.
This pledge, God has given us things. We're going to go through a gratitude exercise in a bit, where we just notice how God enables us to have pleasure.
And that's, I think that's a big deal. I miss so much of what God is doing in my life just because I don't stop and to think, what can I be grateful for? What is God doing around me that I haven't even slowed down to see because I'm going really fast on the motorcycle that I have, that I love, that I'm grateful for? See, like that.
Yeah.
So that's all I had to say about this. Let's sing
the song. Well, we're going to do the song, and we're going to participate in any way that's helpful for you while we do this. We're going to have some volunteers come down and have time to be generous. You know that if you're around here any length of time, this fuels the infrastructure. All the stuff that is happening back there, yes, we all bought with our own money, put it in boxes, but there's an infrastructure of staff that enabled that. There was cartons, there was rentals, there is electronic systems, and that's just part of our systems that our offerings drive. It's stuff in South Africa, India, all over the place. And so that's why we exclaim and say, this is an attitude of gratitude for me to be generous. If you're newer here today, and you're not sure you believe us in all these things, you're not sure you trust us, no worries. We're excited you're here. Just let that pass right on by. Good and perfect gifts. I got a good and perfect gift. I'm driving around right now. I'm driving around a new truck, and I'm so thankful for $1.65 gas. Yes, I am. You know, I went through this big journey. I shared all my car story with you last week. And just sort of to cap that out off a little bit, the rebates and everything on full-size trucks were just crazy, crazy, crazy. I've had a GM credit card for a long, long, long time, so I had extra points. By the time I got a great deal from a dealer, a rebate from the factory, my credit card points, a $33,000 truck was $19,100. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And you know what the best thing about the whole thing was? When I drive around, I do think of God's good and perfect gift, because I was driving it off the lot. I just was like laughing, like, God, this is just too good. This is crazy. This is crazy. You are good. You bless your children. But you know what the best thing of the whole thing was? What was going to happen with my previous car? You may not know that we have a wheels ministry here. Oh, there's some folks right there who do know. Are you volunteering in that? Do you volunteer? There you go. Right here. You can talk to my man down here. We have a wheels ministry that we're on pace this year to give away 60 cars to people who are in a difficult financial way in our community. One of the things that we found out is for when you're the working poor or in poverty and you start going someplace, transportation is the biggest problem. It's just a hard, hard deal. And if we can help somebody who's in our community to go to the next level by helping them with transportation, we do that. And so I'm going to give my old car away. And some of you might be in this position. And I just encourage you to think about this. You can give your car away. Give your car to Crossroads. You get a deduction for the Blue Book value. Then all of us who give regularly around here, part of our money and infrastructure goes to car parts. And they get bought, and then all volunteer labor puts on those parts, and then somebody who's in our community gets that vehicle. So my repair of $1,300 with volunteers working hard is going to be less than $300, and someone's going to be cruising and styling in a car that I couldn't even afford to keep driving. I love that. As far now, here's what you need to hear very, very clear. There's a lot of cool things that happen around here that we just can't talk about because then it gets out in the public and we create more problems for ourselves than it's worth. And like this one right here, we know if that gets out in the general Cincinnati community at large, we're going to be inundated with everyone wanting a free car. Freebie, nada, zero. That's not what we are about. We are about everybody who is in need. We are about blessing all sorts of people, including people on the other side of the globe and people in our own city, and we have money and infrastructure that goes into that. But initiatives like Wheels and others tap into a verse from the book of Galatians that I want to highlight, which says this: therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. In the midst of our difficult time, we just get call after call after call all day from people calling in the city thinking the Crossroads is loaded. We need to write them a check. We'll have people lined up outside of our front door at the office before the office closes, wanting to come in and, and just, you know, hearing about the generosity of Crossroads. And a lot of times this is other nonprofits that think we're loaded and pointing people here. A lot of times it must be you, because people come in and say, hey, my friend, I don't go to Crossroads, but I don't, well, my friend tells me I should come here and do this and that because you'll help me. And we have different ways in which we build into people who are in difficult ways across the city. But our efforts of cars and other things are first and foremost focused on people who are proven parts of our community here. So if you've got somebody who you know is in need, we say, wonderful, help them. You help them. Even if they don't know Christ, they don't go to Crossroads, you are the answer. We encourage you to do that. Also, if you want to be more engaged on this, you can go to corkboard@crossroads.net and be engaged. And let me just say this. We need to finish this year strong financially. And I know that's going to be very difficult, because that's part of why that verse, when Jesus says, how is it you still don't understand, hits me. I see the needs we have around here. I see the ways in which we're building into people and changing lives. And I also see that a large, large portion of our budget, like many nonprofits, comes in December through appreciated stocks. And I know there ain't many stocks that have been appreciating. You know, I when I was thinking about that, that's where that verse kind of hit me. How is it you still don't understand? I understand, God. God, you are just good. But I also say to the rest of us, if you can, if God's blessed you, let's just be thinking about how to build into our infrastructure and finish this year strong financially. Let's think about that. Personal discipline of thanking. All gratitude, all giving comes from what God has already given to us. It doesn't come out of guilt. It doesn't come out of manipulation. It comes out of what God's given to us. We talked about a biblical mandate for remembering. We talked about an American aptitude for forgetting. And finally, a personal discipline of thanking. Did you get one of these when you came in, these five kernels? I'd like you to take these with you if you want. Actually, when I first heard this, I actually put these in my mouth for a while. You don't need to do that. I'm not recommending that, but let me tell you a story of Thanksgiving, and I want you to think about this Thursday. 387 years ago today, a ship named the Mayflower arrived at Plymouth after 66 days at sea. 102 people set on foot on land after a month of scouting the land for the most ideal location for a settlement. Over the winter, 46 died from sickness, starvation, and exposure to bitter elements. In March of 1621, they met Squanto. Squanto was a slave in England after being captured by sailors 10 to 15 years earlier. This is how she learned how to speak English. Squanto had returned from England about 6 months prior, only learned that her entire tribe had been massacred. Squanto taught the colonists to plant fish, hunt, and trade with the Wampanoag tribe led by Chief Massasoit. The summer provided a bountiful harvest. Governor William Bradford declared a celebration in October and invited Massasoit. Massasoit showed up with 5 dressed deer, more than a dozen wild turkeys, and 90 natives. The feast was successful. It was incredible. But then 1 month later, 35 more people came, and there was no supplies. Bradford and his crew, they did an assessment of the supplies. They started cutting down the rations. Then they cut rations finally down to a daily ration of 5 kernels of corn. Daily ration of 5 kernels of corn. Miraculously, no one died in Plymouth that winter. In the spring, they planted double the crops. However, they endured a 12-week drought, and Bradford called for a time of fasting and prayer. In the words of Edward Winslow, quote, "These and the like considerations move not only every good man privately to enter into examination with his own estate between God and his conscience, and so to humiliation before him, but also to humble ourselves together before the Lord by fasting and prayer. To that end, a day was appointed by public authority and set apart from all other employments. But oh, the mercy of our God, who was as ready to hear as we were to ask. For though in the morning when we assembled together, the heavens were as clear and the drought as like to continue as it ever was, yet Before our departure, the weather was overcast. The clouds gathered on all sides. On the morning, distilled such soft, sweet, and moderate showers of rain, continuing some 14 days, and mixed with such seasonable weather as it was hard to say whether our withered corn or drooping affections were most quickened or revived. Such was the bounty and the goodness of God. That fall, Bradford called a celebration of Thanksgiving, invited the Indians. And to this day, we still have Thanksgiving. And I think Thursday, we're all going to have a bit more than 5 kernels of corn. I want you to take those 5 kernels this week and put them in your pocket. First time I heard of this, I put them in my mouth and left them in my mouth all day. And I just, it was a constant reminder to me of, wow, what would it be like to only eat this? What would it be like to have only this to survive on? It would help me to remember God's goodness. All right, in your program, you got a bunch of space to write things. We're going to have a writing exercise right now. We're going to see how God speaks to us. I'm going to walk through 6 different things that we could be thankful for. And as I call each of these out, if you have a pen or pencil and you want to write this down and take it home with you, this is only whatever works for you, then great. If you just want to sit there and think, that's fine. But one of the reasons why we do things like this is we want to get all of our bodies engaged. That's what we're trying to do today. Try to get us standing, get us, you know, singing, get us writing, get us holding things, bags come by, all these things to just get the entirety of ourselves into gratitude. So if it would help you to write down what God might prompt you in your mind with, I encourage you to do that. God, we want you to help us remember. Help us remember. Help me remember right now. Help me remember. Objects. Objects. God, any physical, tangible, concrete object that we have or have ever had, and we need to thank you for it, would you remind us of those objects? Trucks. Free firewood. iPhone. Central heat. Pencil. Pen to write with. All these things, God, we say thank you. Thank you. You care about objects. You do. And you bless your children with them. Experiences. God, would you quicken us right now with experiences that we've had that we need to say thank you for? So we hear these prayers and see what we write down as a prayer, God. These experiences. Ability to graduate. Adoption. Oh God, I thank you for the experience of being in team environments where I just get elevated. Blue Man Group. Birthday parties. People. God, quicken us for the people that we need to be thankful for. They've come from you. Chucky Keith. Karen Travers. Mom and Dad. Abilities. Have you ever noticed how some things are so easy for you? It's like falling off a log. Other people think that it's really special, but you think, oh no, it's just, you know, it's the only thing I do. Yeah, it's because it's a gift that God's given you. God, we thank you for these abilities that we have. Not being afraid in public, speaking. Carpentry. Leadership. Characteristics of God. God, we call these out to you. These are things that are noble and we know about you. We're thankful for these things. They're generous. You're faithful. Everything good. Tender. Mighty warrior. Healer. Counselor. Forgiving. Stable. Unchanging. Empathetic. And God, pleasures. Let's write down and thank God for all the sensations you have, the ability to taste, the ability to feel, the ability to laugh, the ability. Any pleasure at all that just causes you pleasure. Let's write them down. Let's thank God for them. And laughing at stupid things. I thank you for that pleasure. Pleasure of feeling a warm fire on a cold day. The pleasure of teary eyes in a cold parking lot with volunteers serving. The pleasure of creme brulee. I love God. That's the how you enable me to have the sensation for textures, how I can sense cool and soft and warm and brittle in the same mouthful. That's a pleasure you bless me with. Thank you. Thank you for that. The pleasure of rubbing my dog's nose. God, every time I look at his nose, that cold, rubbery end and the transition into short hair, that and rubbing right in that spot. That's a strange pleasure, but nonetheless it is. Thank you, God. Lord, I'm grateful for Tashawn, the child I carried for 39 weeks that never took a breath. I know that you took his life to bless me with life. I'm so grateful to you, even in my darkest hour. So thankful for the 46 years of life you granted my mom. Even though she is physically no longer on the earth. I learned so much from her, and I think about her every day. Even though we've lost over half our retirement IRA, God provided my husband and I new jobs to meet all of our financial needs. Thank you, dear God. Thank you that my little brother lives and laughs, golfs and goofs around. And thank you to the person who decided to donate his organs to my brother who could live. God is the God of creation who hasn't just created all the beautiful sights that you can see out in nature, but he's also created all the beautiful sights that you can actually see in your own life. All the things that God has already done to bring you to this place right now. He's the God of all creation. And he's worthy of being thanked. Why don't we stand right now? Let's stand and